This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila.
And we are Spy Fat Chicks.
And we are actually in Montreal.
Yay!
Woo! We ended up having a great opportunity where all we had to do is pay our food expenses. So we're in Montreal.
And we also thought this would be a great time for us to test drive something we've always wanted to do. You know, everybody has a dream. If they ever hit the lottery, they're going to, you know, buy a yacht or a mansion or I don't know.
Have servants.
Something bizarre. Ours is, if we ever hit the lottery, we wanted to be able to do this forever and go on what we call foodgasms, which would be like tours someplace where all we do is eat and then podcast about it. So we thought we'd test drive the concept of the foodgasm this week.
The foodgasm term was coined after reading a book called Confederates in the Attic, where the guy that wrote the book was doing a bunch of research about the Civil War and how it still has an effect on the states and what the battlefields are like now. And he ended up hooking up with this guy is a hardcore reenactor. Like, they starve themselves to make sure they look like dead bodies.
Yes, they would practice their corpse look for reenactments. That's how hardcore these guys were.
The guy that the author hooked up with took him on the Civil Wargasm and hit as many battlefields
in like 2 weeks
as he possibly could.
They hit like a bunch of reenactments and battlefields in like 2 weeks. They drove through the night and everything, and it was called the Civil Wargasm. So we co-opted the term for Foodgasm, where we're just going to do 2 to 3 episodes, put them all together as one episode, and release it as the Montreal Foodgasm.
Yeah, where the little snippets are going to be recorded throughout the trip.
Yes. And this is our first snippet. Right now, we're at the Desjardins Center.
Desjardins.
What she said.
My French pronunciation isn't awesome either, so it's going to be a close approximation.
Sheila took French in high school. I took German. Sheila took some Spanish. I took German. Sheila has some Latin. I took German. So when it comes to actually puzzling out the Romance languages, Sheila's pretty good at it. I took German. So I'm at a severe handicap here. I just mangle it and look at her, and she's like, no, 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 say it like this. And then I mangle it again, and she's like, oh, God. So
my reading skills are excellent.
Yeah.
As far as actually listening, I can understand most of it. When I try to actually speak it, I'm handicapped.
So anyway, we're at this cool mall that's like kind of like in the basement of a office and hotel complex. It's about 2 blocks from where we're staying, and we're about a block from where we're staying. We're about a block from Chinatown.
Woo!
So yeah, you can imagine what happens when you turn this Spy Fat Chicks loose. Less than two blocks from Chinatown. Hilarity ensues. Montreal has a decent-sized Chinatown. It's not huge. It's not like New York or San Francisco or Seattle or anything. But it's bigger than D.C.'s. Washington, D.C.'s Chinatown was only about, like, a block. This one's almost three. This one's almost 3 blocks, and it's really nice. Tons of cute little stores, tons of restaurants, and Chinese bakeries.
Yeah, which we've been hitting hot and heavy since we got here.
Oh, yeah.
2 or 3 days ago.
Well, we're trying to economize, so we don't have a whole lot of cash. But at the same time, we want to go to some nice places to eat. So what you do is you get to the Chinese bakery or you get some noodles. You have lots of dough for dinner that night. And it works out. So the first place we went to, actually, since we got into town, was a hot pot restaurant.
Restaurant Hot Pot.
Literally, that's
the name.
And we've got lots of pictures from this trip. We'll put them all up on the blog. And it's got a big old sign that says Hot Pot Restaurant. You can't miss it. It's on the upstairs floor of a building. And we've done a Hot Pot episode. If you haven't listened to it, you aren't familiar with what Hot Pot is, you'll want to go back and check that out. So we're not going to launch into a full-blown explanation again. But this one's a little bit different from the place we've talked about it for Markham.
Yeah, Rolling Pot and Markham.
Yes. This place, in Rolling Pot, you order the food and they bring it to you, and they'll bring you as much as you want. They'll keep refilling it, and you throw it in your little hot pot. Here, it's a buffet. You go up and you grab the raw food that you want and bring it back. So keep in mind, we did go to a Chinese restaurant on the weekend of the Moon Festival. So it's like a harvest festival, so it was pretty busy in Chinatown in general. But the place was just chaotic and hot and
crazy.
Insane.
And for once, we weren't the only white people there.
Yeah.
Which is something we've been noticing with a couple of different places that we've been, is usually we're okay with being the only Caucasians around. You know, you see a couple of mixed race couples or, you know, somebody that brings their teenager that brings their white friends from school to check it out.
But it was about a third Caucasians or non-Asians, and the rest were Asians. I was impressed with that. I mean, the hot pot was good. They only had 2 flavors of broth. It was hot or regular.
Right.
By hot, I mean spicy, not cold broth. Put your raw food in your cold broth and cook it.
You.
The tables were kind of set up like Rolling Pot, but Rolling Pot was much nicer inside. And they had a decent selection on the buffet, but we got there a little bit later in the evening, so some stuff was already gone and not replaced.
And you'd have the communal thing working against you, where people would go up and they'd get plates for the entire table. So they'd walk away with like half of the tray of
beef
that
yeah.
just got put out.
Yes. But they had a good vegetation variety.
I just ate nothing but like mushrooms and...
Oh, I know. But they had like three or four kinds of mushrooms.
Yeah.
They had
they had more than that, because there were soaked ones.
Oh, yeah.
Rehydrated ones in the bottom.
And they had a good noodle variety. Mm-hmm. There were probably six kinds of noodles you could throw in. Good vegetation variety. Meat was pretty much beef or pork or shrimp.
Yeah.
They had some fake crab you could throw in, which I wasn't too sure about that. I was thought it would particulate in the
pot. They had fried bean curd, which I ate a lot of.
The fried bean curd was exceptionally good.
Because it kind of like soaked up the soup, and then you bit into it, and then it would scald you.
Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of like a tofu with a almost, it looks like a crispy coating on the outside. It looks almost like fried chicken skin.
Yeah.
But it's not. It mostly retains the flavors of whatever you cook it in. And since it's hot pot, you cook it as a broth, and then you throw it in your little sauce bowl and scoop all the sauce up with it. You just get this little flavor sponge. And that was really nice.
I have to say,
good texture.
I did like the soup.
Yeah.
At this place a little bit better than Rolling Pot, because there was less flavoring bits in it that you weren't really meant to eat, which made it a little bit easier to eat.
So if you're in Montreal and you're craving hot pot, it's not a bad place. I would recommend getting there earlier than we did. We didn't go there till almost 7, I think.
Well, with dinner prices, it's really
expensive.
And I think there was somebody standing in front of the only sign on the outside that had the dinner price.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, hey guys, I don't know about all this. It looks like it's $10.99 for lunch. It's gonna be way expensive for dinner. And you guys are like, no, it's fine. It's like $17.99 for dinner, and it's only on one sign outside.
Yes.
So if you miss that, you're gonna be totally sticker shocked when you get the bill.
Yes, it was pricey, which it wasn't really much more than Rolling Pot is. But
no.
I think I like Rolling Pot's setup a little bit more. But Hot Pot inherently is a more expensive Chinese meal out.
Right.
You know when you're going to go, you're gonna almost pay $20 a head. So just keep that aware, keep it in mind, go early, don't go around a Chinese holiday.
True.
But the hot pot restaurant on St. Laurent, it was decent. I wasn't upset with it. There were some things they did very well.
Yeah.
So.
You can't be always perfect all the time.
No, but you did discover those little crunchy rice things there too.
Oh, those are delicious. They're like little puffed rice. It almost looks like Sugar Crisp or Honey Smacks, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
At first I thought it was actually puffed wheat, and it looks like a little Rice Krispie bar.
But the rice is like puffier than Rice Krispies.
Yeah.
It's almost like a softer texture. It's not as harsh of a crunchy texture as Rice Krispies.
And instead of having marshmallow in it, mm-hmm. there's like honey or sugar or something that's holding it together.
Yeah, it's just like a little sugar bar with those. But they're really good. They had them on the dessert bar, and she liked them so much, we ended up going to one of the little grocery stores and buying a block of them to take home.
Yeah, they were tasty.
Really tasty stuff. So, next up, actually, why don't we talk about mooncakes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It was, woo, crazy, discount mooncake day.
Yes, because we came into town, rolled into town when the Moon Festival was pretty much happening. All the stores have mooncakes out on display in the streets for sale. And mooncakes are, I don't know the tradition behind it, but I know pretty much you're supposed to eat the mooncakes, share them with your friends for
this
the holiday.
Is supposed to be good luck.
Kind of a good luck.
Well, everything is supposed to be good luck, right? But
yeah. But it's a tradition, it's a Chinese tradition. And when I was in China, they made sure they gave us mooncakes on the mooncake festival. We got a big old tin of mooncakes. And the ones in China were a little scarier because they had more variety to them. We had like meat ones and egg ones, and we're like, ooh. The ones here were mostly lotus paste and red bean paste.
Yeah.
And we picked up a tin of six of them, and they're big. They're like the size of a hockey puck.
Yeah.
They come with little knives and forks so you can cut them into pieces, because you really probably shouldn't eat a whole one by yourself, because it's like a meal.
Even though everybody does.
Yes. Well, not everybody, just you.
Oh.
We bought them last year. We got discount ones because after the Moon Festival in Morgantown, and Sheila's just sitting there noshing away on it. And I'm like, hey, look at how bad these are for you. And she's like, how bad can they be? I'm like, well, that one's 600 calories that you just ate. She's like, oh. It was like the scene from Lord of the Rings, the Lambus bread. How many did you eat?
Four.
Oh. So it's just like that. But they're good. They're a really soft, moist cake.
It's super, like, rich.
Yes.
And I think they use, like, lard or something to make it.
Some of them do, some of them don't. I think they have an oil that's not one full of trans fats that they mix into the batter to keep it moist.
Yeah.
So it's a preservative, but it's not a really bad preservative. It's so moist, they have to put the little silica packets in each individually wrapped mooncake so it doesn't get over-moist and, like, dissolve itself or something on the way over on the boat. But they're good. And it's something that I think even people who aren't really keen on Chinese food might enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because it reminds me almost of some of the desserts I've had around Christmas time with the weird things stuffed in it.
Yeah.
It's like a smooth version of a nut roll without the roll.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of.
So.
I mean, try the meat ones or the egg ones. You might like it. Break it open first. That's my advice. Well, break the mooncake in half and see what it is.
The import ones have the ingredients listed on the back, so you won't get any surprises. You'll know what's in the tin before you buy it. Because we wanted to be careful that our traveling companion didn't get one with nuts in it because he's allergic to nuts. So we're like, oh my, let's check the ingredients first. So it was very good stuff. So toss that in as a side note.
Yeah.
Mooncakes are awesome. Chinatown in Montreal is filthy with them if you come at the right time.
Yeah, which is beginning of October.
Yes. So the next place we went was actually for a dim sum the next day.
Yeah, that is the Restaurant La Maison Cam Fung, or Restaurant La Maison Cam Fung.
So that was the Sheila pronunciation and the Tracy pronunciation. It is on the second floor of almost like a little mall complex.
Yeah, you can't actually go into it directly. You kind of have to go into the mall. There's a little sign where to go up. You go up an escalator and then go up and take a number. And this is really, really, really good dim sum.
Oh.
I really, really liked it. And it's like lightning dim sum, which is totally counter to what you usually have as leisurely dim sum.
Yeah.
And but I can see why, because they have so many customers, they have to get them in and out.
We waited almost 45 minutes to get in, which we were prepared for. We've waited, 20, 25 minutes at Ginger and Onion before.
Yeah.
And since we knew it was a kind of a holiday weekend, we figured it would
like
be busy anyway.
Well, it's like a hot spot, too. It's supposed to be the best dim sum in Montreal, and I think they live up to it.
I think so, too. But the wait was totally worth it. Now, normally when we go to dim sum, you sit down, you wait for the food to come out, and things come out one or two at a time that you want on the carts.
As you leisurely sip your tea and chat.
Yes. Yeah. We sat down, and three carts, pulled up with stuff we wanted, and the table just loaded up with food, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the ginger and onion. I think I still like them a little bit better, because I like how they do some of the dishes, but this one had some stuff we don't normally see.
Yeah.
Like those noodle things.
The fried lo mein.
Oh, those
with
are so
sesame
good.
Seeds. The place we went to before Ginger and Onion, called New World, used to always have the fried lo mein, which I love. Because it's crunchy and crispy, but still soft and delicious.
And this one had a nice smoky texture to it.
Yeah.
You could tell it was cooked in a well-loved wok. Somebody keeps that thing just going.
They probably sleep beside it.
Maybe, I don't know. Kiss it goodnight. The fried lo mein was really good. They had, what were those other, flat dumplings that we got? Because one was like a pot sticker, and it was, really big and meaty. And then there were two more that you and Rick had between you. One looked like a veggie one. We took pictures of them.
It was just a vegetable dumpling. I have no idea what it was.
Well, their dumplings were almost twice the size of the ones that we're used to, but they were
really... Yeah, it was like jumbo dim sum. Yeah. Everything was like 3-bite shumai and...
Yeah, they were huge.
2-bite hargao.
And they were really heavy on the meat and all the dishes. Usually you're used to a little bit of meat, but everything we got that was a meat dish was
stuffed. Hearty.
The egg rolls.
Yeah.
They were meaty, like hardcore good, and not like ground beef meaty. It was like chopped pork meaty.
Yeah.
I mean, it was...
With
had
like
a really good
bacon
texture
in it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really sure what those were. I just thought they were spring rolls, so I got them and they turned out to be egg rolls, but we're like, oh well, nom nom nom.
They were
nom,
more
nom.
Like meat rolls, they were great.
Yeah. And didn't you say the Chinese mustard was wicked at this place?
Yes. I love good Chinese mustard. And it's hit or miss sometimes when you go takeout, because the little packets could be Chinese mustard, or it could be just like regular mustard. And the Chinese mustard I'm thinking of is the stuff that like burns your face off. It's what we get when we go to dim sum. They always put a little dish down that has like almost like a little yin-yang looking swirl in it.
Yeah, it's like half red
half
pepper sauce.
Yeah.
And half Chinese mustard.
And I like to put it on some of the stuff at dim sum. Usually the fried crunchy things go really well with the Chinese mustard.
I see you you take a little bit and you dab it on. It's not like you're rolling it in it.
Well, I'm used to
just a little bit'll do ya.
The stuff at Ginger and Onion's kind of middle of the road on heat, so I've gotten used to it. So I wasn't thinking. I take my half of the little egg roll and I just smear it in the mustard like I normally do and pop it in my mouth. And it was before the tea in my cup had cooled down for gulping, so I'm just sitting there, my eyes are watering, crying for help silently because at this point the mustard has stolen my voice. And they're looking at me like, are you okay? And I'm just waving frantically and blowing on my tea so I can chug it. But it was good. It had a good mustard flavor, too. So, very exciting. We give the Cam Fung dim sum 2 hearty thumbs up.
Yeah, it was really, really good. It well deserves its reputation.
And the price was really close to what we're used to paying.
Yeah, I mean,
thought it was going to be more.
It was $1, maybe 2 more per dish than what we normally pay.
Not even, really. Because the whole bill came to just around, 36?
Yeah.
And that's about what we usually pay. We pay between 30 and 36 when we go to Ginger and Onion.
Yeah.
And they did it a little differently, where each dish has a category it fits into. We're used to only seeing one or two categories on the slip, and this place had four different price categories. So when we first looked at it, we got a little sticker shock. We thought, oh, this could be expensive. But
then it wasn't.
It evened out, because most of the dishes fell
into
the
inexpensive one.
Yeah, they fell into the $2.75 dishes, and only a couple fell into the $3.50 and $3.75 dishes. So it all worked out in the end. We got great pictures of all the dishes, which we don't have from the dim sum episode.
Yeah.
We even got a picture of the little card where they check stuff off on, so you'll see what we're talking about. We have just more detail than we got before in dim sum, so we'll put that up too, so people can see what they're getting into if they want to check it out.
Yeah, definitely.
And again, just like the hot pot place, we weren't the only non-Asians in there. It was almost a third non-Asians.
Yeah.
It was cool to see whole families of people who were non-Asian that were enjoying dim sum. You don't get to see that usually at other places.
And this Chinatown is really an interesting place just from a cultural perspective, because you have people walking down the street that are like trilingual.
Yeah.
They're like speaking Chinese to their parents while speaking French to their friends while speaking English to the clerk that might be serving them. You know, it's just crazy.
Yeah. It's a unique experience. But I love seeing non-Asians at dim sum, not because I don't want to be the only one there, but because it's such an awesome style of cuisine.
I want to share
it
with the world.
And it's so underrated, and people don't realize how great it is. And I wish more people would enjoy it outside the Asian community to get it out there. I mean, I'd rather eat that sometimes than sushi. I consider it as good as sushi.
Yeah.
So I just feel bad. It's like totally underrated compared to everything else.
It's like, I guess it's an acquired taste.
Yeah.
Because there are some really weird dishes, but
like there's some really weird types of sushi.
Yeah, exactly. So, but for some reason, sushi is seen as sophisticated, where dim sum is seen as, like, I guess,
foreign.
Yeah.
It's a weird foreign dishes. I don't know.
I don't know.
So, what's next up on our hit parade that we've gone to recently?
Well, let's go with, we did dinner. Let's go backwards and do lunch. Mm-hmm. We went to a restaurant, Noodle Factory. That's the name of it. Really, really good.
It's also on St. Urban Street. St. Urban. St. Urban. It's on the same road as the convention center in Montreal. The Noodle Factory is across the street on the same side as the convention center, and Cam Fung's across the street up a little bit from the convention center.
Yeah.
They're very easy to find, though, if you come down that road, or if you're at the convention center for something, it's worth checking out. And the Noodle Factory, what do you think?
Super fast, super good, super cheap.
It's so cute, too. It's this tiny little place. I think they have 10 tables, and they're all crammed together. And you walk in, they direct you to a table in the midst of chaos, and you order, and just food starts appearing on your table. It's super fast. They make all their own noodles.
They have, like, a little glass window where you can see them working in the back, and you can see them rolling out noodles and stuff.
Well, there's a review posted on the front window, and they comment on there about, oh, and you can watch the noodle porn if you're into that. And I'm like, yes, I'm into that!
Yay!
So, we've had, what was it, the Shanghai noodles?
It was the Shanghai noodles with, was it pork?
Yes.
And then we also ordered the Singapore-style noodles, which we had an almost horrible experience, because as I was shoveling in my Singapore, my traveling companion, who is allergic to nuts, starts mowing down on the Singapore noodles too, and then I'm like, hey, wait a minute, don't these usually include peanuts? Because it's like pad thai.
It looked like pad thai, yeah.
It looked almost exactly like it. That's why we ordered it. We saw one go by and we're like, we'll have one of those.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh god. But then it was okay. It was nut free.
Yes, we were saved. But the food there is insanely affordable. I think it was like eight something for each dish. And then we ordered the onion pancakes. Scallion pancakes. That's what it was on the menu. When I was in China, we used to be able to get at breakfast these really flat, big, they looked almost like a crepe, but how a crepe has a soft, squishy texture like a pancake, these had almost a flat, layered texture to them, and they had onions mixed in with them, green onions. And they're kind of greasy and probably really bad for you, but they're really good. And they were huge. They were like, we're sitting at a little cafe table right now, and these things were almost the size of the cafe table. They'd fold them in quarters.
As big as a dinner plate?
Yeah, they'd fold them in quarters for you and give it to you. It's like the size of a pizza. But it's really thin, so it's no problem to eat one. So we saw those on the menu, and I got all excited, and we ordered it. And it looks different, but it was completely the same taste and texture. They took theirs in a folded it and rolled it up a little bit, and then they fry it so you get this crispy outer coating.
Yeah. And they kind of like wrinkled it up.
Yeah, but then you have the little layers on the inside that are the same texture that I had before with the onion in it, and really good.
I really like the sauce that they brought with it. Mm-hmm. You were like, I don't know if you're going to like it, because you don't really like onions. And I'm like, it's okay. They're mild. Nom, nom, nom.
Meanwhile, she's on her second piece. I'm like, oh, okay then. But those were really good, too. It was a couple bucks, I think $4 for that.
Yeah.
A very affordable place for lunch.
So for three people, it was under $30. It was like 27.
Yeah. No, it was like 22, 23.
23?
We didn't get anything to drink. They brought water out to the table, and we were happy to have that.
Just to cut costs a little bit.
Yeah, and they have little pots of hot pepper sauce on the table. They're very hot.
OMFG.
Very spicy. Be careful with it. Don't be me.
Yeah.
So we want to go back there later this week and check out some of their other things on the menu. Their dumplings. I saw a couple places dumplings go by, and
they look tasty, too.
Oh, yeah.
And they the smell good. Is just awesome. And they get you in and out. I mean, it's a small place, but they manage to, you know, sit you down, take your order, feed you, take the money,
yeah,
send you on your way. In a reasonable amount of time.
And the staff was very friendly, very polite. Yeah. And that's something else I also want to mention, because this is my first trip to Montreal, which your first trip to Montreal.
Yeah.
I've never been to Quebec before. You've
never been.
Never been to Quebec.
We've driven through it, but never really stopped for anything.
And I always hear stories of people saying, oh, Quebec, they're really rude. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Everyone has been surprisingly nice.
Yeah, even though you use me as, like, cashier bait.
I do. I use her as a human
meat
shield.
I'm like a meat shield. They might speak French at me. Shove.
I won't know what to do, shove. But even the people who come up to me and speak French, and I give them a blank look and say, I'm sorry, and they'll start speaking English without missing a beat.
Yeah.
They don't mock me, they aren't rude to me, which I was kind of expecting from various stories told to me by dozens of other people, almost all Canadians.
All the people that we've interacted with have been really, really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, I can understand French, but I can't necessarily speak it back. So for me, when they say, you know, bonjour, I say, hi there. And then they immediately switch to English, and they start taking my order and everything.
But nobody's given us a hassle over it, which I was kind of bracing myself for the first day and expecting. And I'm really excited to see that hasn't happened.
Yeah,
so.
I think it's just because it's such a multicultural city. That type of attitude might be a problem outside in the rural areas or in the less traveled parts.
Yeah.
Like in Quebec City, it's French.
Yeah.
You know, there's not so many Asian people, Middle Eastern people, Indian, Hindi people.
But I was totally floored by just the courtesy.
I definitely wanted to mention that,
friendliness, too.
So that's a good time to say it.
Because I was a little hesitant. I'm like, oh, Montreal, I don't know, but hey, it's something to do. And at this point, this is becoming one of my favorite cities to stop and visit. I would love to come back. Kind of like how we are in love with D.C. And we want to go to D.C. like every couple of years because there's so many cool things there.
Yeah.
There's so many museums. There's so many awesome restaurants and festivals and just neat things we're not going to hit this time. That I'm all for, you know, coming back to Montreal like every other year for an extended weekend or a week if we can swing it. And, and doing the foot thing and checking everything out.
I'm having a great time. And there's so much neat things to see. We went and saw the Red Path Museum, which is on the, McGill University campus. And it's by donation. So if you're low on cash, it's a place where you can go. You just throw a little bit of money into the donation box and go check it out.
And it was impressive for being a little college museum. It had at least four times what I thought it would have in it.
It's the largest freestanding museum in North America.
Oldest. Freestanding museum in North America.
Yes. Oldest. That's what I said.
Yes, it was.
The oldest freestanding museum in North America.
But they had a couple of really neat exhibits there. More than I thought they would have for a little college museum.
It's like a natural history museum. It's just really tiny and cute.
It's very cute, yes. But they did a good job at it.
Yeah.
So, and what else did we want to mention? So, food places.
The last thing, I guess, well, there's probably two more things to mention. The Coffee Depot, which is provided the fuel for this this podcast.
All our podcasts are fueled by coffee or beer, so we don't have coffee depots in Ontario.
No.
And they have really good coffee. Sheila made me take a picture of her espresso. She was so excited.
This is how an espresso, a double espresso, is supposed to be. It's a long, it almost filled a small coffee cup. It was strong, but not
overpowering.
Yeah.
It's a very kind of mellow espresso. I'm looking for the name of that bakery.
Oh, I have it right here.
Oh, Harmony. Okay.
Okay. And the other place we went to that is the Chinese bakery that we of our choice is the Patisserie Harmony. And that just means like pastry shop.
It's right off of Saint-Urbain, right around the corner from the dim sum place.
Yeah.
So.
And we have so far had, let's see, barbecue pork buns. I've got a sweet potato bun that I haven't tried yet. It's back at the hotel room. The Chinese donut, which she said was really awesome.
Yeah.
The custard buns.
Yeah, we tried two variety of custard bun. One was a regular custard bun, and one was custard and cream. And the regular custard bun had no custard in it. It was just kind of baked on the top, and it was kind of crunchy.
Yeah.
The custard and cream was like what we think of when we go to Three Brothers.
Yeah.
But it didn't have quite as much filling in it, but this filling was really sweet, though.
Yeah.
So really good. Both of them, the custard buns. The barbecued pork was so awesome.
And one of the best things about it is they have the barbecue pork and all the others, like savory things, in a hot cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
So you can like go in there, grab a quick bite for lunch and take off.
Yes.
And it's already heated up nice and warm.
So for $1 a bun. Some of the buns run a little bit more, but yeah, they're between $1 to $2 depending on the bun. It's awesome. And mm-hmm. they serve bubble tea, and they had a darn good bubble tea too.
They did. We had the mango regular bubble tea, not the milk bubble tea because of lactose intolerant horribleness, and it was really, really good.
Mm-hmm. So again, if you're at the convention center for something and you're looking for a quick bite, don't be afraid of Chinatown. It's the closest thing there.
Yeah.
And we keep seeing all these people come out of the convention center with badges on and going
right past it.
All the good stuff in Chinatown to walk 3 or 4 blocks to find something else.
And remember, if you eat cheap at lunch, you can splurge drink at dinner.
So tonight we're hoping to hit a little brew pub.
It's called Les Trois Brasseurs.
Three Brewers.
Which is Three Brewers. And it looks like it has a couple of different locations, so we'll make sure and podcast about that as well.
Yes, and there'll be other tasty Montreal food goodness on the way. So anything else you wanted to add?
I don't think so.
So far the food's been great. It's an awesome dry run for a foodgasm. Now to make it complete, we just need to hit the lottery.
Yes. So you can do this for a living.
Yes. So this is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and this is Zwei Fat Chicks, and we'll be back in a little bit.
This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Zwei Fat Chicks. And we're currently in the food court of the Place Ville-Marie.
Yes.
Place de Ville-Marie.
Place Ville-Marie. I don't know. Ville-Marie is what I call it, because yeah. I don't speak French. So.
Okay.
So it's a little noisy, but you should be able to hear us just fine. And this is part two of our foodgasm in Montreal. We've gone to a couple other places, and we went back to one place we already talked about. So might as well hit what we've already talked about, which is...
The Noodle Place.
The Noodle Factory.
Noodle Factory. Restaurant Noodle Factory.
Yes. And it's right by the convention center. We went back again and got dinner the other night, and we got two other dishes. We had the fried noodles with chicken, and then we got one that was like handmade noodles with beef. And then we tried their dumplings too. We had the pork and chive dumpling, and all three were really good.
Yeah. I was expecting the handmade fried noodles, stir-fried noodles with chicken, to be kind of like the crunchy fried lo mein that we had at dim sum,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't. It was actually more like kind of like spaghetti.
Yeah.
Like a really, like spigatini almost.
Yeah.
But with an Asian sauce. So.
And the sauce was really good. It was really tangy. The chicken was really well done. There was a good deal of vegetables in it that were very cooked perfectly. Yeah. There was some carrot and celery in there too. And then the beef with the handmade noodles was not at all what I was expecting, but it was really good. The noodles were like flat
like fettuccine almost.
Yeah, and kind of thick. And the beef was like the slivered beef up it, sliced up and stir fried with it.
Yeah.
And then they had tons of bean sprouts in it, and the sauce was kind of tangy, but kind of savory. I liked that one a little bit better than I liked the fried noodles, actually.
It was really good.
Yeah, the consensus all around was it was the better of the two. And then the last thing we had were the dumplings. We got an order of dumplings for an appetizer, and I love Chinese dumplings. I love making them. I love eating them. And these ones were, like, really good. Some of the best I've had, I think, since I came back from China.
Yeah. And instead of just dipping them in the strong, dark Changkang vinegar, it was a mix of rice wine vinegar, they said, and soy sauce and their special ingredients.
Yeah. Well, we think it's rice wine vinegar because it doesn't taste like the dark vinegar.
It's sweeter.
It's sweeter, so we're pretty sure it's rice wine. Really good dipping sauce with it. The dumplings weren't too heavy on the chives.
Yeah.
You could tell the dough was handmade. Well, you'd see them making the dumplings.
Well, we got to see the noodle erotica
in action. It was so cool because they have a plastic shield set up where you can see the fellow making noodles and making dumplings. And while we were there, he was making dumplings. And that's actually the guy, that's the big boss, the one waiter told us. And we were taking pictures of him, so. But really nice staff, really fast service. Again, even for dinner, we were in and out in no time flat.
And for three people, it was $22.
Yeah, so you really can't beat that.
That's
to
crazy.
Be honest. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
We should probably talk about, they are cash only, aren't they?
Yes, they are. The portions are a solid 4. We get usually 2 dishes and an appetizer dish to split amongst 3 people, and everybody walks away full. It's only cash, no debit, no Visa, so prepare ahead of time. If you forget on your way there, there's a CIBC almost across the corner from it. You can run in and take cash out. Same thing with the Hot Pot place. Were they cash or debit?
I think they had debit as well.
They had debit and cash. But the bakery that we talked about a little bit earlier, Harmony, which we've gone back to and tried some more of their buns, and they've all
been good. In fact, they keep laughing at me because I keep coming back.
Yes. It was like, what, 5 trips in 3 days or 2 days or something? So
something ridiculous like that, yeah.
I think they think we're living off their buns, but they're cash only as well. The Three Brewers?
So we, because we'd saved some money by eating on the cheap, by eating at the Chinese bakery, by eating at the noodle place, and making a trip to the grocery store to make a really big sandwich that we split between the three people, we decided to go out for a nice dinner with some drinks. And there's this place called Les Trois Brasseurs, which is the Three Brewers, which I found is actually a France-French chain. I guess it started in Paris, and there's some in Belgium, and there's some in here, Montreal, there's one in Toronto.
Montreal.
Yeah. And they brew on site. They have, is it 4 or 5 different kinds of beers?
I think there was 4, because there was the blonde,
the rousse,
the brown, and there was one other one, I thought.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's like a pilsner or a lager, I think.
We tried the blonde, the red, the rousse, and the brown. All three were really good beers.
Yeah.
Really smooth, very well done. It's the kind of quality you expect when you go to a microbrewery. You expect something that good, not like a normal beer.
Food was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So I ordered I can't remember what exactly it was called on the menu. It was like something Welshman.
It was under a category that said like from our French cousins or something.
And it was actually like a Welsh rarebit. And there was a twist though, because it was a heartier than usually a Welsh rarebit would be.
What's a Welsh rarebit? Because not everybody knows. Okay. They think it's rabbit.
It's a piece of big crusty bread with usually mustard, like Dijon mustard spread on it. And then usually it's just cheese that's melted on it. And yeah, the cheese kind of poofs up and gets a little bit crunchy.
And for people who've watched the Two Fat Ladies, they have a twist on a Welsh rarebit recipe where it's like a souffle because they mix more egg in with it. And they mix egg in with it. So you get this like poofy little cheesy souffle baked on top of the crusty bread. So go ahead.
So this one actually had... So there was the piece of really nice artisan bread. Then there was the mustard, which was awesome and to die for, which they probably actually made on site. I'm not sure that they did, but it's a distinct possibility. I didn't ask.
Or locally bought, which is very possible too.
Then it's got the cheese melted on it, a piece of ham, and then a fried egg on top.
And it was real ham. It wasn't compressed, crazy.
Like loaf ham that you slice off.
Loaf ham that has been formed. It was real honest to God ham.
It was even like a little bit fatty, but that was part of what made it delicious.
What came on the side? Was it
fries?
Just fries?
Yeah.
Okay. I copped out and I had a burger because I like to kind of test the standards on the menu someplace new like that. And I didn't want anything too crazy. I really wanted to enjoy myself. I've been eating Asian food almost all week and I needed some normal food in there. So I got their blonde burger, which was really good. It was had to be a 1/2 pound patty, cooked well done. It had lettuce and tomato and onion on it, and then just cheese and bacon. It was pretty much, but they mixed the beer in with the patty somehow.
Yeah.
They cook it and involve some of their beer. It had a really good flavor to it. Really moist burger, really good bun. I mean, it was a standard burger, but it was very well, very tasty.
Mm.
I wouldn't put it up on the same pedestal that I'd put Mr. Burger, because it's Mr. Burger, and
you're a fangirl like that.
I'm a total fangirl for it. But if I went back there and I wanted something kind of normal and I wasn't feeling adventurous that day, I'd totally go for a burger. It wasn't a waste of money by any stretch of the imagination. And the beer alone made up for, even if the burger sucked, the beer would have been worth it.
Yeah.
And then our
traveling companion, he got a bratwurst. Mm. They were like sausages that were boiled in beer and then grilled.
Yeah.
With lots and lots of homemade sauerkraut.
Yeah, he had, it was 2 different sausages, though. It wasn't just 2 bratwursts. It was like one kind and another kind. I don't remember the styles.
Yeah.
That had been cooked in the beer. And it came with a potato, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like a boiled potato, a cooked potato. And he said it was all very good. He loved the sauerkraut. Said it was really tasty sauerkraut.
He mowed down on that.
Yeah, we think there was beer involved in the cooking of the sauerkraut at some point, too.
Possibly.
It was a very boozy meal all around.
All along their menu, a lot of the foods are cooked with the beers that they make.
Yes, and I got to try homemade mayonnaise for the first time. And I'm still not a fan, but I don't have the vehement reaction against it that I have against like regular store-bought mayonnaise. It wasn't bad. There was a nice mustard taste to it.
Yeah, and I think you said you'd rather just cut out the middleman and just use mustard.
Yeah, just go straight to that awesome Dijon mustard they had that our companion had that was served with his sausages. And the Dijon mustard was so good. And I'd also like to comment about the locations of the restaurants and the rest of the booze menu, too.
Oh, yeah.
There's many of these in Quebec, or rather in Montreal. We've walked by three of them so far. There's one almost off of Crescent. There's the one by Villa Marie, which is the one we went to.
Yeah.
And there's also one down in Old Montreal, which is where we first found it. So you don't have to go to one location if you're in town for something if you want to check this place out. You've got a lot of opportunities.
The one that's closest to either where you're going or where you're staying.
Yeah. I mean, they probably all have the same food. The service was good.
Yeah.
The restaurants are very nicely decorated. They're not too TGI Friday'd, you know?
Yeah.
There's not, like, relics on the wall.
They're definitely,
that's the
like,
artifact day.
They're definitely tavern-type establishments.
Yes. And when you open the menu, which is, it's served, the menu's given to you is kind of like a newsletter, and I was impressed they had an English menu to give us.
Me too. I tried to grab one, but they swiped them before I could steal it.
I think those are a premium. So, but it's a nice little menu. Open it up. It looks like a newsletter, but front and center in the middle of the menu fold is the beer menu.
Because, I mean, let's face it, cool. That's why people are there.
Yes. But I didn't have to hunt around. I wasn't, like, looking under the table for the secret menu hidden where they have the beers listed. It was right there in the middle of the menu. And they also had beer cocktails, which I'd love to try. There's one in Toronto, and I think we're going to check out the one in Toronto a little more extensively. This may become one of our favorite special occasion kind of restaurants.
Yeah.
But they had a list of about, what, 15, you think?
Yeah.
Cocktails you could get.
And some of them were like kind of like a shandy, where it's like beer mixed with a soft drink,
mm-hmm.
as for like a refreshing cocktail. And some of them were like Boilermaker-style cocktails, where it was like beer with hard liquor added to it.
Yeah. It impressed me to see that on the menu. I used to drink shandies in China to kind of slow down the
low
insane drinking that we had at some of the dinners. You started to mix Sprite with the beer so you could just kind of cut it a little bit without offending anybody, so you were still drinking alcohol, so you could still keep up with the toasting they wanted you to do. But I was excited to see that, and some of the ones they had on there looked really good, like the banana one.
Yeah.
It was a blonde with a creme de banana.
Yeah.
And there were a couple other ones on there that we all three of us said, hey, that would be kind of neat to try, and they weren't hideously expensive. A price of one of the beer cocktails wasn't far off or was very close to a price of a pitcher or a pint of beer, depending on what you got.
Because you could get them by the pitcher.
Yes.
If that's what you wanted.
And pitchers for Canada were very reasonable. It was right around $14 for a pitcher of their beer, which we were paying more than that in Orillia for some of the beers there.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing crazy premium, just kind of regular beer. So, two hearty thumbs up for the three brewers. How do you say it in French?
I don't know how to say thumb.
No, I mean the name of the restaurant.
Les Trois Brasseurs.
So I'm afraid to say it in French because it's probably going to come out sounding like Brasier for me. So
I'll
stick
like
to the English.
Brasier.
It does.
When you read it.
First, I thought, why'd they name the place the Three Bras with three men on the sign? But hey, whatever floats your boat.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to check the one out in Toronto, really.
Yeah, me too.
So.
And I mean, their food prices, if you want to go on the cheap, the Welsh rarebit dish that I was talking about, that was like $9.95.
Yeah.
So, and your burger was
it like
12?
10 or 11, I think.
Okay.
It was under 12. And I think even the sauerkraut and sausage dish was under like 14, I think.
Yeah.
It was
so, I mean, if you want, you can order something a little more upscale. Like, did they have steaks there?
They had steaks. They had some pasta dishes, I think.
Right. Or you can go with pub grub and keep it affordable and order more beer.
And a dish of poutine went by and it looked really good, too. They had those crazy looking pizzas.
Oh, yeah.
That were like $10, I think. And it was kind of like a personal sized pizza, but a little bit bigger. You could probably get a couple and split them with the table.
Yeah.
And those looked really good. They had a lot of variety on what they put on the pizzas as well. So those are more possibilities with this place. I'm just excited to find it.
Yeah.
Because it's like a chain microbrewery.
Yeah.
A chain brew pub.
Woohoo! Yeah. Portion size? Solid
three,
four?
I'd say 3.5.
3.5? Okay.
Well, I think your guys's was more along a 3, and mine was more along a 4 because it was such a massive burger.
Yeah.
So I would average it out to be about a 3.5.
And they take cash, debit.
Visa, debit.
Yeah.
They do all three.
Tune in next week for the exciting conclusion of our trip to Montreal. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this Five Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on MySpace and or Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. Please email your comments, questions, or suggestions to zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends, but please make sure that credit is given. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a great day.